Kenneth Fearing's book, The Big Clock, was a noir novel published in 1946 and set in the New York offices of a giant publishing empire. By 1948, it was a movie, There's That Clock Chiming, about the corporate lies and machinations of a murderous magazine czar. The movie is maybe not noir, but is certainly noirish, says author and film historian Janine Basinger, who teaches a course in film noir at Wesleyan.
Lot of great actors playing interesting, offbeat, and despicable characters, taking you around corners in a tense manner. So from the beginning, you don't feel safe. It never lets up.
Fearing wrote the original book, not the screenplay, but both the novel and the film adaptation made him famous and prosperous, if only for an instant. Kenneth Fearing had already become well known in the 1930s as a so-called proletarian poet. But the fact is that, like his book, his darkly entertaining poetry, too, evoked and imitated his real preoccupation, media. Consider this from his celebrated poetry collection, Dead Reckoning, of 1938. It's called Radio Blues, and he's taking us up and down the dial from one end to the other in a poem.
Try 5 on the dial, try 10. 15. Just the ghost of an inch, did you know, divides Japan and Peru? 20. 25. Is that what you want? Static and a speech and the fragment of a waltz? Is that just right? Or what do you want at 12 o'clock, with the visitors gone and the scotch running low? 30, 35.
Not necessarily 40, typical poetic 40, language.
50. His poetry is very much on the edge of pulp writing and tabloid writing.
Jeffrey O'Brien is a writer, a cultural historian, and a Fearing fan.
Advertising copy, all of that. He puts it directly into his poetry. You don't really get anything like that until sometime later in the 1950s when the Beats come along.
Here's a piece from another one from a series, Aphrodite Metropolis, venturing into the New York subway, which then, as now, was billboard and advertising and graffiti territory.
Myrtle loves Harry. It is sometimes hard to remember a thing like that, hard to think about it, and no one knows what to do with it when he has it. So write it out on a billboard that stands under the yellow light of an L platform among popcorn wrappers and crushed cigars. A poster that says, Mama, I love crispy wafers so. Leave it on a placard where somebody else gave the blonde lady a pencil mustache and another...
Kenneth Fearing, born in 1902 in Oak Park, Illinois, came to New York in his 20s to write. His work became popular. He was published in the likes of The New Yorker, New Masses, The New Republic, Partisan Review, and he was political, an avowed leftist and activist. If Fearing is ever quoted at all, it's usually from the time the authorities asked him whether he was a member of the Communist Party. Not yet, he said. But his radicalism tended to emerge in the form of the jargon, slogans, and sounds of America. Here's part of his poem, Cracked Record Blues.
If you listen once or twice, you know it's not the needle or the tune, but a crack in the record, when sometimes a phonograph falters and repeats and repeats and repeats and repeats. And if you think about it long enough, long enough, long enough, long enough, then everything is simple, and you can understand the times. You can see for yourself that the Hudson still flows, that the seasons change as ever, that love is always love. Words still have meaning, still clear, and still the same. You can count on your fingers that 2 + 2 still equals.
That you could make a poem out of what not only is the technology of the recording industry, but a flaw in a record, I think, is an extraordinary leap.
Robert Polito is a poet who edited a volume of Fearing's verse. He especially likes the poem Dear Beatrice Fairfax, which he describes as follows.
You know, that's a rock and roll song.
Foolproof baby with that memorized smile. Burglar-proof baby, fireproof baby with that rehearsed appeal. Reconditioned, standardized, synchronized, amplified. Best by test baby with those push-the-button tears.
Kenneth Fearing struggled with alcoholism for his whole adult life, a relatively short one. He died at 58 from illness and the hardest possible living. Even when he sold his book to the movies, he reportedly drank away the proceeds. He mostly freelanced, though for a brief period he did work for Time Incorporated, which fed his media fixation. And that was certainly the model for his scathing portrait of a magazine empire in that book, The Big Clock, which inspired the villainous portrayal by Charles Laughton of a Henry Luce-like figure in the movie.
Or everyone authorized them to shoot if necessary. Man's a maniac.
But the big idea in The Big Clock was to have George Stroud, editor of Crimeways magazine, hunt for an accused murderer who turned out to be himself.
Well, Mr. Stroud, be careful. This guy's a dangerous maniac. We just got orders to shoot to kill.
That mix of frantic paranoia and corporate domination is what caught on. And it led to a remake decades later with the alluring title No Way Out. The Big Clock, the movie, is irresistible. Plenty of twists and turns.
What's the matter?
The man, he was right there.
And wonderful characters, some of them based on Fearing's friends, Alice Neal, the painter, among other eccentrics.
I think I've captured his mood rather successfully, don't you?
And somehow you believe they're all nearly lost in the winding corridors of an anti-human publishing factory. Janine Basinger says it's rich with Fearing's detail.
It's all done on a set. It's all contrived. But it just feels real. And the understanding of that world, I think, really grows out of his book.
Kenneth Fearing was looking at media manipulation and advertising and obsessively pointing to it and saying, look what's happening to us. Now we get his message.
You know, you have a president that comes from reality TV running the White House as if it's some combination of a crime syndicate and a television program, and they're all along a kind of continuum that Fearing knew very well.
That big clock of Kenneth Fearing's imagination keeps chiming on the hour. It's Fishko Files. I'm Sarah Fishko.